You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. We're continuing our study here, and which we just started today in 1 Samuel. And we're in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 8. Then said Elkanah to her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? And here you see the love that this man had for his wife. Certainly he's grieved that for her, that she can't have, she hasn't had any children. And of course, it's the great desire of her house, heart, and her sister wife has, several sons and daughters. And she is grieved, and he's grieved for her, but yet tries to comfort her. He doesn't scorn her, as her adversary does, but he sincerely tries to comfort her. So we see the demonstration of the love that this man, a good, godly man who loves his wife as Christ loves the church, if I could put it that way, because this is an obedient man. And so he says, why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow. And you know, just the attitude of these women, the attitude of the society. We see the societal attitude toward having children. They believe. That's right. They believe God. And that's what it means. If you believe God, that means do you have faith? And if you believe Him, you put into practice what He says. If you don't put it into practice, that's evidence that you don't believe. There's no way around it. I mean, what does faithfulness mean in marriage? I have a faithful wife. What does that mean? Well, that means that her actions display her faithfulness. She's a faithful wife. Okay, so if you have a contract and you're faithful to perform according to the contract, you have an agreement with someone and you're faithful to perform that agreement. So faith is an action. And these people believed the word of God. When he said, be fruitful and multiply, when he said that children are a blessing, a gift from God, well, they believed that. They actually believed it by the way they lived. By their action, not like today where people say, oh, we just love the children. Here, kitties, you know, go out there and put a condom on a banana. And oh, by the way, you know, we don't want you to have any children while you're at it. Here's some birth control pills. That's right. And if that don't work, well, you can always get an abortion. And oh, family planning. Oh, yes, everyone, only one child. And oh, the world's getting overpopulated. Yes, you know, we have to control the birth. Sound like they believe? And the Christians practice this. Go to your typical corporate church out there. And how many big families, if a big family walks in with 6, 7, 8, 10 children, oh, everybody looks and scorns. Why, you know, how dare they have so many children? Why, using up the resources of the planet. How could they do that? And then they get out and they walk for life. Hypocrites, most of them. They ain't out there walking with their 7, 8, 9, 10 children. Well, they're most likely hypocrites unless they're like me. I've wanted a big family all my life, you know. But all that seems available are disobedient women. And of course, my last wife who was with me on it, the Heavenly Father took her, for his reasons, carrying our child. So I'm not guilty of that. I've wanted children all my life. I've hated birth control. I've hated abortion. And then all these people go, well, gee, I wonder why the nation's going to hell in a handbasket. Why can't we win? Why are we Christians? Oh, you know, we're the silent majority. All we got to do is get out and vote. And nothing works. Why not? Well, because we should be winning God's way, not the world's way. God said, be fruitful and multiply. If every Christian family endeavored and had the same mindset of Hannah and Peninnah here, the mindset of Israel, the people of God, the nation of God, who believe that children are a blessing, who obey the commandment to be fruitful and multiply, well, this would be a Christian nation then. We would take over by sheer population because we would be obedient. And because we were obedient, our children would learn obedience. And we wonder why aren't our children following us? Because we're disobedient. And our children learn disobedience. And then you send them off to the heathens because you're following the ways of the heathens. You send them to school. First they start teaching them to put condoms on banana. Okay, little girls, this is how you do it. Here's the pictures, but we're going to use a banana instead. And then they do that, and then they give them birth control, and they went, oh, wow, teen pregnancy is going through the roof. What's going on? So they have to give them birth control and abortions and all these stupid Christians, and I'm going to call them what they are, stupid. Gee, why is it all falling apart? Why can't we win? Why can't we? We're the silent majority. We are the moral majority. Why doesn't it happen? If we were obedient, if we had children, and they learned our obedience, well, we would be winning. But we're not. We have a disobedient people. They bought into the lies, and they accept the counsel of the ungodly against the word of God. Very sad. We'll continue in our story here. So Anna, well, I'm going to back up. And Eli said unto her, how long? No, I went too far here. Okay, verse 10 of chapter 1 of Samuel 1. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord, Yahuwah of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid. It was an affliction not to have children. My, how we have changed, mankind. How we have changed. Even America. It was a blessing in early America to have many children. You needed them. You know, they were your workforce. They were the strength of your family. They were your army. You know, they were going to take care of you in your old age. Ah, but never fear. We don't need children. The government is here. You can collect your socialist security payment. That's right. Uncle Sam will rob your neighbors to make sure that you have the bare necessity minimum that you need to just survive. Huh. Don't need those pesky children hanging around. But she's praying here, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto Yahuwah all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She's offering up her child with a vow, and that is a lifetime service to the Heavenly Father. And I believe this is the vow of the Nazarite, if I'm correct. My memory serves me correctly. But here, the indicating there shall no razor come upon his head, that she is giving even up her son as a lifetime servant to God by a vow. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart only. Her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said to her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Talk about misconception, huh? And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before Yahuwah. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And of course, this is he knew her in the biblical sense. And the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And I'm guessing that's Samuel means something like that. Heard of God. Okay, because God answered my prayer. He heard me. Heard of God, Samuel. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. And he was a firstborn son of Hannah. But Hannah went not up, for she said to her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth good. Tarry until you have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto Yahuwah. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in Yahuwah. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. I rejoice in thy salvation. So you see the faith of this woman. You see the faith of this family. Yeah, her husband, this woman, rejoice. I rejoice in thy salvation. What were these people looking forward to? Redemption. The redemption that God had promised to Adam and Eve, the seed of the woman. That's what they were looking for. I rejoice in thy salvation. All the promises of God that we enjoy through our Messiah, through Yahshua, Jesus. All of those promises, all those things that have been promised to us, she rejoiced in them also. They looked forward to them from the beginning. And if you don't understand that, I'll ask you to go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and you'll see a video there on the front page. Watch that short video, and perhaps you'll get a little more understanding that even Adam and Eve rejoiced in the same salvation that we rejoice in, that they looked forward to the Messiah, whereas we look back on what he did. They looked forward to what he would do, the promises of God. They enjoy those promises now, just as everyone who has gone on before us in the Lord, and just as we shall when it is our time to pass over from mortality to immortality, because I rejoice in thy salvation. Do you rejoice in his salvation? You know, that's the difference between believers and unbelievers. Those who believe rejoice in his salvation. And we do rejoice. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2. There is none holy as Yahuwah, for there is none besides thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. We talked about that actions, faith. Faith produces action. If the action isn't there, then the faith isn't real. That's right. You don't believe it. God said children are a blessing. If you aren't, if you don't endeavor to have children, if you're practicing birth control and abortion, you don't have faith in the Word of God. And you're demonstrating that by your action. Now here's this woman praying, saying these things. Wow, listen to the wisdom of this woman. Men are not better than women. Men are just different than women. You want equality? Well, find your equality in the Spirit. But as long as we're in this flesh, we are commanded, let every soul be subject to the higher power. And women, the higher power immediately is your husband. But if your husband is a disobedient to the Heavenly Father, well, you go to the next highest power. And that goes for judges sitting in the chambers with their black robes. They have a higher power too. It may be the law of the land, or it may be God Almighty. He is the highest power overall. His law is supreme. Any law on earth, in heaven or earth, or any fictitious realm or any authority on earth, not in compliance with the law of the Heavenly Father, is void. That's right, we're not to obey it. Because every soul is to be subject to the higher power, and every soul has a higher power. That's why I love the wording. And anyone who wants to change that wording, I think that they're deceivers or deceived or both. Let every soul be subject to the higher power. By him, actions are weighed. The bows of mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. Hallelujah. The Lord Yahuwah maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are Yahuwah's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. You know, tell me this woman didn't know the gospel. Listen to these words. These are words of faith, and faith alone for salvation. Yes, the evidence of faith is in action. If the action, or as James put it, you know, I'll show you my faith by my works. If the works don't follow, if the action doesn't follow, then you better be checking on the faith, because it is not real. Because sometimes what people mistake as faith is just knowledge. They have facts. Oh yeah, I believe those facts. Yeah, uh-huh. But they don't take those facts to heart, and they don't use those facts as a guide for their life, as a lamp for their feet to direct their path. So unless those facts, that knowledge that you have, is put into action, it is not faith. Continuing here. He will keep the feet of his saints. And that's action. Keeping the feet of his saints. That's right. You cannot do wicked and go into a little booth and confess your sins to a man and then go out and do wicked again. Because you're not one of his saints if you do. His set apart people. His ecclesia. The called out ones. That's right. He's calling us out of the world and the ways of wickedness. It says he will keep the feet of his saints. And if your feet are not being kept in his kingdom, walking in his righteousness, then you are not one of his. There's the evidence. And the wicked shall be silent in darkness. Yes, that's your place. And you will be silent forever in darkness. Oh, you may be boisterous now. You may rail against the righteous. You may persecute them and put them in prison and steal their children and beat them and kill them even. But your time is coming. If you don't repent, you will be silent in darkness. For by strength, yeah, they think they're strong because they got it over on us in the flesh, because they exercise force against us and the arms of force against us. They will be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. They may think that they prevail for a season during this mortal existence, but their strength, all their armies, all their policemen, all their black-robed high priests are not going to help them when their mortality comes to an end. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Chapter 2, verse 10 of 1 Samuel. The adversaries of Yahuwah, the adversaries in the Authorized King James Version, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. And of course, the horn is the horn of power. And the king, of course, is the Messiah, Yahshua. Many call him Jesus and other names, but he knows who are his by whatever name they call him. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border. Stay tuned for the news.